Last week, we talked about the simplicity of the gospel message. Paul reminds us that it's pretty easy. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, and you will be saved. We go on in a few verses, and he reminds us that just because it's easy doesn't mean everyone's going to do it. We can't automatically assume that just because it's easy that we don't have a part to play in this, and that people are just going to call on the name of the Lord because it's written down in black and white. Assumptions are actually quite dangerous. Take, for example, there was a photographer who was taking pictures of a forest fire, and through the smoke he couldn't get close enough to get a good shot, and so they hired a plane for him to fly over and take shots of the fire from above. So he goes to the airport and he hops in the plane and they take off, and he tells the pilot, make 3 or 4 swoops down low over the fire. And the pilot says, well, why? He says, because I'm a photographer and I'm taking pictures. That's my job. And the pilot says, you mean you're not the instructor? Making assumptions can be dangerous. And when we assume that just because we know the gospel message, that we know what it takes to have salvation, to have eternal life, to have a relationship with Jesus, to assume that everyone knows that is a dangerous assumption. Because there's many people that realize that something is missing in their life, that not everything is quite what it seems, that there's something that they desire that they just can't put their finger on. And we talked a little bit about that this morning in our Sunday school class. When we can't quite put our finger on what's missing, we tend to try to fill that void with something else. We don't have the joy of the Lord, we try to replace that joy with other kinds of joy that are fleeting. When we don't experience the love of Christ, we try to find other kinds of love that can be damaging, that are not eternal. So why is it important for us to take the message of spreading the gospel so seriously? Because apart from Christ, there's no hope for anyone. He tells us very clearly in his word that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a powerful truth that we can't keep to ourselves. It's our responsibility to share that with other people, not just in word, but in action, in love. And also because this is the primary way God uses to get his message out to the world. He uses you and me. God doesn't have a Facebook page. God can't text message people. God can't send you a letter, call you on the phone. So when people don't have a relationship with God, when they don't have that open line of communication with God, he uses us to tell them about his plan and his purpose. And last week I shared a quote with you from St. Francis of Assisi when he says, preach the gospel always, if necessary, use words. Paul would say that that's necessary pretty often. So that's not your free pass to say, well, I can just live a good life and people will just see that and hopefully they'll want to know the Lord. So I'm telling you right now, that's not your free pass. We have a responsibility to speak about the things that God's done in our life, to speak about the truths that are written in Scripture, to speak about our salvation, and to encourage them to enter into that relationship as well. And it's more than just telling them about our church. Are there great things going on in our church? Absolutely. But can coming to our church save you? No. Can showing up at Lou's house this week and raking her yard and mowing her lawn save you? No. Is it a good thing? Are we serving the kingdom? Yes. But it's more than just telling them about our church. It's more than just inviting them to our church. It's about being able to share the hope that you have in Christ. So this morning we're going to read Romans chapter 10. Let's do 14 and 15. But how can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is what the scriptures mean when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. We read this and we think, duh. How can somebody believe unless somebody tells them? It makes sense, right? We have to be told in order to believe something. So why doesn't God just make everyone just believe from day one? Why can't we just come into this world and automatically believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he's our Lord and Savior, enter into that relationship and be saved and not have to worry about this whole mess? Because that's not how love works. That's not how love works. Love is a free choice. God loves us unconditionally, without reservation. And his hope for us is that we reciprocate that love to him. But it's our choice. If he made us love him, it wouldn't be love. And so he gives us this message to share with the world. He says, you guys that have this relationship with me, get it. I want you to help other people get it. I want you to explain to them what is so great about this thing called Christianity, about salvation, about your relationship with me. If it's so great and you put so much emphasis on it, why don't you tell people about it? That's what he's saying. That's the point. And there's excuses, right? Evangelism's not all of our gift, right? We don't have the gift of evangelism. And many people use that as their excuse not to share the gospel. But when I read the Great Commission, it doesn't say, make disciples of all nations unless you don't have the gift of evangelism. Make disciples of all nations unless you're not a good public speaker. Unless you're not called into missions. He doesn't give us those stipulations. He gives us each spiritual gifts. We all have different gifts. We all make up part of the body. But the ultimate purpose of each gift is to point to God. So how can you use the gifts that you're specifically given, the ways God's blessed you, to help other people know God better? Maybe you've never asked yourself that question. It might be a good question to pray through this week. God has gifted me in a special way. How can I use that gift to share his love with other people? The word apostle means sent ones. And I think that once we enter into the relationship with Jesus Christ, we become apostles. He wants to send us into the world to spread that truth that we know about, that we have accepted, that we hang our hat on, that becomes our foundation. But the thing about being sent is we have to be prepared. We have to be trained up. We have to be ready. This week I skimmed through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and I found some interesting facts. Before Jesus actually sent his 12 disciples out, he spent time with them. He taught them. Before he sent them out, he gave them authority and he gave them specific instructions. Now, we don't have Jesus in the flesh here with us, but we have the Holy Spirit. We become the temple of God, and we have that time, that picture that I gave earlier of the water. We have to let our lives become still before God so that we can see our true selves, because there's so much going on in the world that we become chameleons. When we're with this group of people, we become this type of person. When we're with this group of people, we become this type of person. And whether or not we admit it, in a small part, it's true. And the only person that sees us for who we really are is God. And he wants to show us that person. He wants to show us that even though we're scared, even though we don't know what we're doing half the time, even though we're trying to earn affirmation from this group of people and power in this area and respect in this area, that none of that matters because he loves us right where we are. That's what Jesus did for his disciples before he sent them. And that's what God wants to do with you before you're ready to be sent. It takes a certain level of growth, of spiritual maturity. We can't always be drinking spiritual milk. We can't stay in the infancy stage of Christianity. We have to grow. And the only way growth happens is by being intentional, by investing time, by seeking out God daily. This morning we talked about habits in our Sunday school class. It takes taking our normal habits and transitioning into holy habits. And there's many ways to do that. I can't give you a list of these. If do these things and you'll become spiritually mature, because again, God created us as individuals. He speaks to us in different ways. I know it works for me. but I can't say what works for you. That's between you and God. I believe that Jesus wants us to be able to share what God has done in our lives. The most powerful gospel that you can preach is a personal testimony. Not just how you came into that relationship with God 10 years ago when you knelt at the altar at camp, but like I reminded you a few weeks ago, what God's doing in your life today, now. That's why I put that message on Facebook, and if you don't have a Facebook, you didn't get it, and I'm sorry, but my point is we have to be aware that God is present, that he is imminent, always, everywhere, with us, whether we realize it or not. And if we're intentional about encountering God on the daily basis, we will experience that deepening of our relationship with him. He will begin to reveal the ways that he desires for us to grow, the ways he wants us to use our gifts, the people that he wants us to be sent to. Because how can they know unless somebody tells them? Let's take a look at verse 15 real quick. Paul uses an interesting Old Testament quotation here in verse 15. He says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This verse was used in Isaiah and again in Nahum. Bible prophets didn't have technology. They couldn't send an email. They couldn't fax you something. They couldn't post something on Facebook for you to see. They were sent to these communities to give news, sometimes good, sometimes bad. And when it was good, the saying became, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." They celebrated good news. This is what God calls us to do. This is why I named the sermon Measured in Feet, because in reality, our obedience to God is measured in feet. Are your feet his? Can he use you to share the good news? Can he use you to bring truth into people's lives? To offer joy and peace and love that lasts? To get away from all these other things that people try to fill that hole with and give them the reality and the completeness of a relationship with Jesus Christ? There's people all around us with desperate needs that are hurting, that are suffering, that are in dark places. Sometimes we can see that in a physical sense on the outside, and sometimes it's just deep inner turmoil. They might look completely normal. There might be some in this room this morning that are just broken to the point that they don't know where to turn. Who's going to share the gospel with them? Maybe God wants you to use your gift. Maybe he wants you to be the one with the beautiful feet for that person. We were all created with a purpose and a plan. We were all given gifts to point to God. That is the sole purpose of your spiritual gift, to point to God. And if we're using it for anything else, we're abusing it. I want to share another quote from my book that I've been reading this week that I think really sums up the heart of what Paul's saying here, of why, when we do obey, we're operating in the way that God has created us to operate, and when we don't, what it looks like. He says, "What is indiscriminate compassion?" Indiscriminate compassion is what God calls us to. When he tells us to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself, it's indiscriminate passage. Because following that verse in Luke, he preaches on the Good Samaritan. That's indiscriminate passage. It doesn't matter what ethnic background that person came from. They were hurt and needed help. So indiscriminate passion. Take a look at a rose. Is it possible for the rose to say, "I'll offer my fragrance to good people and withhold it from bad people"? Or can you imagine a lamp that withholds its rays from a wicked person who seeks to walk in its light? It could do that only by ceasing to be a lamp. And observe how helplessly and indiscriminately a tree gives its shade to everyone, good and bad, young and old, high and low, to animals and humans, to every living creature, even to the one who seeks to cut it down. This is the first quality of compassion, its indiscriminate character. To me, that's the definition of beautiful feet. And the only way that they can remain beautiful feet, the only way that we can remain disciples, apostles, sent ones, is to share indiscriminate passion, compassion. To not decide in our hearts and in our minds before we even meet a person that they're worthy or unworthy to hear what we have to say. To not decide by somebody's outward presentation of themselves, by what they do for a living, by how much money they make, by where they live, by what color their skin is, by their sexual orientation, by their political stance. It's not our job to judge. It's our job to love. And when we do that, man, they're going to say, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. There still might be some here that's saying, yeah, but I don't know how to do that. Or I'm not equipped to do that. I'm not gifted to do that. And to that, I just want to show a video of a young man who the world might say isn't equipped to share the good news, but he does it anyway. Isaac, can you show that for me? I had to watch that about 10 times this week to make sure I wouldn't cry when I showed it this morning. That kind of puts it all in perspective, I think. We can give every excuse in the world about why we aren't equipped, why we don't have gifts to share God's love with other people. They don't matter. Chris was born blind, autistic, because of a mom who did drugs while she was pregnant with him. And he came to a place where he realized that he was God's beloved, that it didn't matter what anyone else thought of him, because God was smiling down on him, and God had a purpose for his life. And God has a purpose for each and every one of your lives. And the ultimate goal of that purpose is to point other people to him. So our obedience is measured in feet. Either our feet belong to God or they don't. Let's pray. Father, sometimes it's overwhelming to think that you trust us with such a huge task. We think about how many areas in our life that we fall short in. And then the weight of that responsibility that you give us to preach the good news just seems insurmountable. Lord, it begins by us resting in your presence, by us accepting that we are loved unconditionally by you, that no matter what mistakes we've made or continue to make, no matter how far short we fall, that you meet us right where you are, that you come to us, that we are your beloved. Lord, I pray that as we continue to seek you out, that desire to know you more builds and builds each day, that we can encounter you on a daily basis, and that you will continue to reveal areas and people to us that you want us to serve, that we can offer you our feet to be your messengers, to spread the good news to people, to offer them love and joy and peace that last for eternity. And even in the midst of opposition, Lord, even when people don't want to hear what we have to say, even when they ignore us, badmouth us, or worse, help us to retreat back to that place where we can say we are your beloved and then go out and share it again. I give you all the praise and thanks this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.